Back here on Sports Talk, Tuesday, July 29th, and the Saints were back in the practice mode today, but a little bit lighter workout, a walkthrough session, some special teams work to help us talk about everything that's been going on at Saints training camp. Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. Jeff, how you been doing? Surviving out there, man?
Yeah, doing good, Steve. Good to hear from you, and it's nice to have these shorter training camp practices, isn't it, guys?
I'm not used to it, for sure.
Well,
I can get into that.
And, Jeff, you've watched enough football. I don't know if you'd agree with this. I think how the collective bargaining agreement, how everything's structured, you know, you look at, God forbid, no, you can't have pads in OTAs or mini camp. And then you look at training camp and how many days you can practice till you have a day off and how many days you can be in pads. That I think it didn't really affect, like, the skill guys, but the offensive line and the continuity. I'd say somewhat the defensive line, but I'd have to put it who would be first where it affects. And football has suffered, I think, overall.
Offensive
line play. Now, you can get going as the season progresses, but at times, I think the offensive line play suffers because you don't go as much actually practicing your skill set. It's blocking. And not just going through the motions with your footwork or hand placement.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? I think that's where it really hurts Kellen Moore and his staff. I mean, they're a first-year staff, and they're trying to evaluate this team, and they really don't have a lot to go by, and they don't have any joint practices against anybody. They kind of got backed out on by the Chargers, and I think that hurts. There's only going to be so many reps that they're going to get a chance to watch in live action. And I think Kellen Moore said the other day that they're going to go live on tackling at some point in a scrimmage. But that's just not enough. I mean, Bobby, I don't need to tell you. I mean, back in the day with Coach Moore, I'm sure you all had gone through two-a-days and live tackling and all kinds of work like that. And it's just changed. I guess the only thing I would say that, you know, works in the Saints' favor, just everyone else is going through the exact same thing. So yeah, it's all kind of a level playing field.
Well, and I'm not even talking about taking the running back to the ground or, you know, realistically, last time they was live on the quarterbacks, I think it was in college. So it wasn't live on the quarterbacks unless you had some unheralded rookie trying to make an impression and, like, you might hit the quarterback, and depending on what quarterback you hit, they'd even get in trouble, you know, trying to rush the passer. But you still would have linemen, like, I mean, in dogfights. And I'm talking about, like, blocking and not chopping. I'm not saying, you know, they'd always tell you, stay off the ground. We're going to be physical. But coming off the ball, that's what I think it suffers the game as far as in. And you look at the Eagles, how dominant they were as an offensive line, what they did to the Chiefs. And that's why I said, Coach Moore, okay, he's coming to the Saints. Bobby, what if he doesn't get off to a fast start? Well, I think Kellen Moore, I'm very encouraged by him. Youngest NFL coach. Now, he has to make it a head coach, but I think a younger version maybe of Sean Payton, not necessarily the personality, but what I think he's going to bring to the table. But I even jokingly said, and I think this has a chance to be the strength of the Saints team, is the offensive line. But I said it would increase our chances for the quarterbacks maybe playing better at the beginning if we could bring that Eagles offensive line here. And so, you know, as fans, we follow the football. But, I mean, you know this, Jeff. I mean, one Achilles heel, you can't be one before last trying to stop the run. And that's from a defensive perspective. And then us also trying to run the ball to help the young quarterbacks.
Well, Bobby, I mean, the Saints have invested, what, four first-round draft picks and a high second-round pick in the offensive line. That's the most of any team in the league. That's a greater investment in draft picks than any other team in the league. So that's got to be the strength of this team. If it's not, I think it's just a lack of development or a misjudgment by the personnel department. I mean, I think you have to build around that, and I think that gives hope to this offense that has good skill position players. We know the quarterbacks are young, whoever it's going to be. But if you have a good offensive line, I mean, that's going to be the quarterback's best friend. And the other thing I would say, you make a point about Kellen Moore, you know, coming over from Philly, if you remember just, a few months ago, guys, the Eagles were here in the Super Bowl, and they, I think, were the healthiest team in the league. I think they were only missing one starter of the 22 starters they started the year with. So maybe this approach, Ted Rath, the new strength and conditioning trainer, maybe this approach, you hear the players praise how good they feel right now. It's not just one guy. It's universal. They feel better than they ever have this far into camp. I think there might be something to that, and that's something to be encouraged about if you're a Saints fan, especially after last season.
Now, Jeff, I was kind of thinking yesterday just watching practice, and I said this last night, that I wouldn't be surprised if they take the approach, because everybody was sort of, who's going to be the quarterback? I don't know. It's, let it play itself out. And it might have to be a couple of preseason games instead of just the Chargers. It might be Chargers, Jacksonville, then you go about from there. But wouldn't it be like looking at the Saints maybe, because you look up other teams and who's going to be the future? Maybe take the Patriots and Drake May approach. Like Drake May started, like, I want to say it was week six against the Texans. And, you know, they had, what, it was Jacoby Brissett, if I'm correct with that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I could see them going with Spencer Rattler, okay, simply because it's an opportunity. Now he needs to look at it. Hey, look, if you play well, it's an opportunity. You're going to stay the quarterback. But then given Tyler Shuck maybe having patience there, that almost a Drake May approach. Because you look at the end of the season, how confident now going into this season Patriots fans are. Now they had a coaching change and all, but with Drake May. Do you think that could be a possibility that even if it's close, the competition, that can maybe go with Spencer Rattler simply because he has NFL experience, even though he hasn't won a game, but to start the season that way.
And not to throw too much on Shuck right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, look at just the last few years. Caleb Williams in Chicago, number one pick in the draft. Look how he struggled. Even Jaden Daniels, if you watched his opening game a year ago against the Bucks, he was pretty bad. The year before that, the number one pick in the draft was Bryce Young. Look how he struggled.
Right.
Look at Bo Nix, the beginning of last season. I mean, by the time they came here, the Broncos, and played the Saints, he was being perceived as really not playing that well. He kind of really caught fire at the end of the year. So I think those are instructive for fans to look at and say, look, right now, you can see it. Tyler Shuck is kind of seeing ghosts a little bit. He's not seeing things clearly, and that's to be expected of a rookie quarterback. I don't think anybody in the Saints coaching staff is discouraged by what they're seeing right now. And I think it very well could be exactly – it could play out exactly like you said, Bobby, where Spencer Rattler starts the season, and then eventually when everything clears up in Tyler Shuck, I think there's a reason they drafted him high in the second round. I think they're very high on him. I think they're still very high on him. But they might not rush him out there and ruin his confidence early on and the team's confidence. And maybe he ends up midseason becoming the guy and they go with him the rest of the year. I think that is actually the likely way this plays out.
Now, Jeff, you know, you're looking at weapons, and you wrote a nice piece on Chris Olave. And I've always said this. I mean, you look at his production and what he's done in a Saints uniform and when he's been healthy as far as being a 1,000-yard receiver. But and I've said this, maybe because, I don't know, maybe I like bigger receivers, you know, like Marcus Colston. You look at Michael Thomas. Like, I played with Eric Martin, like strong guys, big
maybe, physical man.
Yeah, yeah, make contested catches. Where with Chris Olave, I said, I can tell you right now, Chris Olave could be every team's number two. You know, but I don't know about that true number one, where you're making those contested catches or you're going across the middle, and now it's first down, and you're having a sustained drive. And the reason why I bring it up, because you're riding Olave, when you look, was enjoying what one of his strongest starts of any receiver in Saints history. He had a total of, what, 159 receptions, 2,165 yards in 22 and 23, and became the only the third Saints receiver to surpass 1,000 yards receiving in his first two seasons with Michael Thomas and Colston. But then you look now where he's at right now, dealing, and I've dealt with, you know, concussions. I told you that I had like 11 concussions over a 15-year span, but never more than one in a year. So I feel like it was spread out. It wasn't like I got one, then you got another one 2 or 3 weeks later. I can tell you that's why Troy Aikman and Steve Young retired early, because you wouldn't sit out 5 or 6 weeks. No, you would keep playing. And it was like, oh, you know.
There was no concussion protocol.
No, you had peer pressure. No, and it was like, oh, come on, we need you. Like, oh, okay, so you just keep fighting through it, but it wasn't necessarily good. But I'm looking at Olave. He's had 4 concussions through his first 3 seasons. 2 last year caused him to miss 9 games. And, you know, he began his career, like I said, very prolific, a 1,000-yard receiver. But if he wants to get paid, he has to be available and he has to play. What they picked up his 5th-year option, and they guaranteed Olave with a projected $16 million in 2026. But what's your take on Olave right now, and where he even realizes that, hey, if I want to get paid, that I have to play. Like his old compadre who got paid, Garrett Wilson, you know, Ohio State connection. That's his boy now with the Jets. He signed a long-term extension, 4-year, $130 million deal. Well, to get that kind of deal, Chris Olave knows he has to kick ass in a Saints uniform.
Yeah, Bobby, and I was really impressed with Chris the other day when he talked about it, because he was very straightforward, very much aware that he has to prove it this season, not only to his teammates, but to the organization if he wants to get a long-term deal like Garrett Wilson. And I think he's coming in with a very proactive approach. You know, he's got wearing the number one helmet in the league as far as protective for severe head trauma. He's, you know, changed his diet. He's put on some weight. I mean, he's one of these guys I don't think is ever going to be a big receiver. You know, he can only put on so much
right.
weight. I think, you know, his metabolism, kind of like Rashid Shaheed, they don't want to lose their speed. But I do think his mindset coming in, considering what he's gone through, and there's a human element to this, right, Bobby? I mean, you know, sometimes we look at these players like they're video game heroes, right?
Right.
I mean, this is a human being here who has to think about his long-term personal health. You know, he wants to be a husband and a father one day. You know, he has to think about those things, and I'm sure he had those serious talks with his representative and with his family in this offseason of whether he wanted to continue playing football, because it is such a violent sport, and we all know sooner or later he's going to take another big hit. And I think everyone is going to be holding their breath to see how he bounces back from that, because it's going to happen. You just can't avoid it in this day and age. And I think the way he's approaching this, though, is very admirable. I was really impressed with him the other day.
Jeff, really liked the trade the Saints made when it happened for Devon Godchow, knowing they need that big space eater in the middle of this defensive line. But man, oh man, after hearing him speak today to the media, I love it even more, bringing that kind of attitude to this D-line.
I think, Steve, that's maybe the biggest area of improvement on this team, what they've done, Brandon Staley, Kellen Moore in this offseason, bringing in Godchow, bringing in late Jonathan Bullard, who I think is going to start on the rundowns at one of the other defensive end spots. And suddenly, this team's front seven is much more physical against the run, and it had to be. They got bullied last year by the Packers, the Bucks game. We all remember those games. I mean, they just were non-competitive and got pushed around. And I think Bullard will help tremendously there, along with Godchow. You've already heard some of the Saints offensive linemen talk about how strong he is at the point of attack. And then I think this rookie from Oklahoma, Danny Stutzman, I mean, they've got a guy there. That's a dude. He's already working his way into the first-team reps, a tremendous tackling machine at Oklahoma. He's going to be the eventual replacement for DeMario Davis. I think they've really done a good job of bolstering that area. And I also say, along those lines, we could see some very familiar faces that were in this defensive front seven a year ago that get released at camp later this month because they've added so much to that area.
Now, Jeff, he's around, and I think, I don't know, when you look at him and Foster Moreau, the knee injuries they're dealing with, I know that was a significant knee injury that Taysom dealt with. And considering he's going to be 35 years of age, and you look at Foster Moreau, I mean, just bad luck right at the end of the season, the last game when he gets hurt, the comeback. Are you looking at maybe around Thanksgiving? Or maybe they contribute, or you think maybe Taysom tries to come back and he doesn't. And I remember saving this from last year. That game he had against Cleveland when he was NFC, what, Offensive Player of the Week? I mean, that was unbelievable. You want to talk about an all-star? I mean, he averaged like 19.8 yards per carry. He had 138 yards rushing in Week 11. A new career best. He caught 8 balls of 50 yards. He matched a career high, 3 rushing touchdowns. And then you throw in there, he had an 18-yard pass completion, and he returned a kickoff of 42 yards. I think that Kellen Moore and just the team organization, that it might be his last hurrah, but they're going to give Taysom Hill every opportunity to see if he can contribute this season, even if it's the back end.
Yeah, I would think he's going to start the year on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. And maybe you see him back mid-season somewhere late October around there. I think that would be a very optimistic view. But there's no doubt that Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore want to get their hands on that utility. You know, he's just an incredible talent. I think he's one of the most underrated players in NFL history. I mean, right. He's a unicorn in cleats. We have not seen anyone. There's other teams have tried to copy what the Saints have done with Taysom Hill, but he's just a unique cat. He's basically Tim Tebow that runs like a 4.5. You know, there's right. there's just no one been like that. And I'm with you. I think if anybody can come back, you know, he had injury issues at Brigham Young, so he knows the rehab process, and he's a dedicated guy. You hear all about, you know, his work ethic. I think if anybody can come back, it's going to be him. But I would say with those two injuries, that's an area of concern right now with this depth chart. Once you get past Juwan Johnson, there's not much there, and I think they've got to address that at some point in this preseason, because I don't think either one of those guys can be available going into the regular season.
Now, Jeff, right quick, you probably know this. You could enlighten me. Is it the Chargers didn't want to practice against us, or we didn't want to practice against them? Because I was going to ask Coach Moore that. I go, why are we going out to Irvine and you're not going to practice against another team? Because I know as a player – you get tired of going against each other. You want to go against different competitions, not only in the preseason game, but actually in practice. And some players that might not be playing in the preseason game would have those practice moments where it's really close to a game.
From what I understand, Bobby, they had an agreement with the Chargers, and the Chargers backed out at the last minute, and it was very disappointing for the Saints because they were planning on that. So, you know, that's the second time that's happened. I think the Rams did it a year. 49ers might have done it a year ago, if you remember. And they were able to, you know, kind of make do. But that's a big – I think that's an underrated part of this camp, that they're not going to have a joint practice against somebody with a new staff, new schemes on both sides of the ball, a new quarterback situation. I mean, every rep like that in a joint practice is just more evaluation for the staff, and they're not going to get it. It's a real detriment for the staff right now.
Well, I think, you know, Jeff, as we let you run, we need to practice against the Houston Texans every year. I don't know, the I-10, you can promote that.
Nice and easy.
Yeah.
Easy commute.
Yeah, whether you're going to Houston or they come in here and all. And I mean, I don't know, that seemed like that would be a natural. I know you have two practices going on at one time and dealing with the heat, but no, I'm disappointed in the Chargers.
I think it would be fun to see Sean Payton come in here with the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
And have a joint practice here. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Jeff, I always appreciate your time, man. Looking forward to see you out there tomorrow. Hopefully they give us some snowballs again.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com, joining us there. Breaking down the black and gold.